So I want to talk about the makah called choshech. The plague that is called darkness. Doesn't look like, I look around, see, it doesn't look to me like anybody thinks it's 30 degrees in here. You have a machine, the machine says 30 degrees.
I think it's 30. You think it's Fahrenheit.
Okay. It could be.
Yeah, I think it's
Oh, is that what you meant? Fahrenheit? Okay. So anyway, Choshech is, of course, the oddest of the plagues, because it's not clear. As all the plagues, somebody gets hurt. Usually it's Egyptians who are hurt. You know, they have nothing to eat, they have nothing to drink, there are locusts running around in the field, there are wild animals killing everything in sight. I mean, the Egyptians are basically being taken to task for something or other, right? You know, it's an old, very old question about the Egyptians. Why did they deserve the punishment? After all, they were just doing what God had given them to do, to enslave the Jews. That was part of the plan. So why were they so severely punished? The answer generally given is that they were a little too enthusiastic about what they did. Because they not only enslaved, I mean, it's the Rambam says this, and the Ramban says this, that that generally speaking, they didn't have to be as severe with the Jewish slaves as they were, and therefore they deserved to be punished. But when it came to Choshech, it's hard for us to perceive what exactly the punishment for the Egyptians was. It may have been unpleasant not to be able to see for a couple of days, but it was not like physical pain and torment. It wasn't as though the food supply was cut off. It wasn't as though the water was undrinkable. All of these things are, we can understand exactly why they are all called plagues. But it's hard to understand about Choshech. So let's just get a little bit of information first. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, the first pasuk, Netei yadcha l'shamayim v'choshech al eretz Mitzrayim. There will be Choshech. Vayamesh Choshech. Now, as an introduction, as everybody knows, that the word Choshech could symbolize two things, or could represent two things, right? The medievalists all agreed that this distinction exists. Rav Sadia Gaon, the Rambam, the Ramban, as we will see, the Ramban here. Either Choshech means the absence of light, right? Or Choshech is something that is tangible. It's its own thing. Like, we don't have that kind of Choshech in our minds. When we think about Choshech, we don't think about... But the Ramban will discover that there is such a Choshech. So here it says, Vayamesh Choshech. Vayamesh Choshech. So Rashi says, Vayamesh Choshech v'yachshich alehem Choshech yoter mecheshko shel laila. The darkness was greater than the darkness of night. Now the darkness of night is the absence of light. And it changes from day to day, because it's sometimes you get a little more light from the moon, and sometimes a little less light. But there's always light. But this is yoter micheshko shel laila, more yet than the darkness of the night. The choshech shel laila ya'amish v'yachshoch. Oh, the word ya'amish is a difficult word, as Rashi explains to us immediately. You see, the pasuk says "Vayamesh Choshech." Vayamesh Choshech is a hard, it's a difficult word. So Rashi says, "Vayamesh is kamo vayemash." He goes into an explanation of that. Sometimes the letter Aleph, because it doesn't have its own pronunciation, the consonant aleph is just, it's just a, like a central noise. It disappears. In Hebrew, it often disappears. There are words in Hebrew where the aleph is written but not pronounced, and there are words in Hebrew where the aleph is not even written, and of course not pronounced. Like, say, the word son, sheep, right? Sadi, aleph, nun. But you don't pronounce the aleph in any way. It's just gone. There's no difference between Sadi, aleph, nun, and if we would write it Sadi, nun, it would be exactly the same thing. Or the word rosh. The word rosh, head. So there's an aleph in there. But that aleph is not pronounced. So that's something that is very much kind of what happens to an aleph in different positions. The aleph tends to disappear because it doesn't have its own sound. It's just, so if you say ani, like it's the sound that comes naturally out of your mouth, that's an aleph. So it tends to disappear. Vayomer v'yamash yesh lo tevot harbe chasirot aleph, Rashi explains. B'fisha ein habarata aleph nikeret kol kach. Since the sound of the aleph is not so, like you can't tell that it's an aleph, nikeret kol kach, ein hakatuv matpid al chesrono. So then Rashi goes and gives examples. But Rashi did not really explain to us what Vayamesh Choshech means. He just says it comes from the word Aleph Mem Shin. And the word Aleph Mem Shin, the word Aleph Mem Shin is like last night. It's like the darkness of the night before. That's what, I mean, it's a little, Rashi doesn't explain it. You have to do that. You skip in the Rashi. You skip in the Rashi. Medrash Agadah. You see where Rashi says Medrash Agadah? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. 10 lines down in the Rashi. Rashi says Medrash Agadah. I've tried many times to explain that for Rashi there's Pshat and there's Drash. Right, pshat means I'll explain the words as they are written in order, and drash means I'll hang something on a word. I'll just pick out a word and say, well, that word seems to indicate. That's called the drash. Now, generally, Rashi himself says several times in the parasha of Bereshit, and then again in Noach, in these two parashiyot, he says that I, Rashi, am here for pshuto shel mikra. Pshutosha Mikra means I come to explain the words as they appear in order. That's Pshutosha Mikra. But sometimes Rashi says that Pshutosha Mikra is just not enough. I've got to tell you something which is a Midrash Agadah. In other words, even though I, Rashi, have agreed that I'm going to tell you the Pshat interpretation, sometimes I just can't do it. And so here it says Medrash Agadah Potro Lishon Mimashesh Batzaharayim. And the Medrash Agadah says, and the Rashi says, I've got to tell you this, because this is the only real way to understand the Pasuk. Not because it's cute, not because it's another thing, but because it becomes, when Rashi says Medrash Agadah, the Medrash Agadah achieves this, the position of the central interpretation. It's the primary interpretation. What does the Medrash Agadah say? Podro l'shon mimashesh matzarai. You can feel it. You can touch it. So that vayamesh choshech means it was so dark. It was so dark that you could touch the darkness and feel it. Right? Mimashesh matzarai shayat kaful. It was doubled over the av and thick achayabo mamash. Something absolutely unbelievable. In other words, Rashi has introduced us to the primary issue in the parasha of Choshech, or a primary issue, which is what possibly could the pasuk mean when it says Vayamesh Choshech? What could that mean? That you could, first of all, the word itself is not so clear, but if the word means, as Rashi claims it means, according to the Medrash Agadah, that Vayamesh Choshech means you could touch it, you could feel it, you could feel the Choshech, so that means that it's not talking about the lack of light. I mean, that's the whole point that we're driving at. We're not talking about that. We're not saying that the makah of choshech was no light, therefore choshech, but we're saying that choshech was the imposition of choshech on reality. That's what happened. That's what happened. That's the makah of choshech according to Rashi. And then the next pasuk says, pasuk tabet vayet Moshe et yado al hashamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu raised his hand to heaven. Vaychoshech afela bechol eretz Mitzrayim shloshet yamim. Choshech afela. Choshech means darkness usually, and afela means darkness usually. So darkness in the way of the way children talk. The way little children talk, and it's very often true in other languages as well. If you want to say very big, you say big, big. Right? There's big, and there's very big, and there's outstandingly big, right? So in some languages, including Hebrew sometimes, you say big, there's big, and then there's big, big. Big, big means very big, right? And then you might even have big, 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 you know. So, what does Rashi say? Choshech afela. Rashi says, no. It means choshech shel ofel. Choshech shel ofel. It's a choshech which is described by the word ofel, which also means darkness. It's a choshech of the aleph pei lamed variety. What is the aleph pei lamed variety? What is that? So Rashi says, "Shelo ra'u ish et achiv otan shloshet yamim." Really dark, because everybody knows that even in darkness you could usually see a little bit. So if you're talking about his brother, right, brethren, you would recognize him. You recognize your brother at night, even if there's no light on in the house, you would recognize him. So he says, "No, lo ra'u ish et achiv." And then the next pasuk, according to Rashi, "V'lo ra'u ish et achiv, v'lo kamu ish mitachtav." The next pasuk, "Shloshet yamim." Right. First, the pasuk of Bet says "Shloshet yamim," and then the next pasuk says again "Shloshet yamim." Ulechol b'nei Yisrael haya or b'moshvotam. Rashi says. Rashi says, "Oh, shloshet yamim achirim choshech muchpal alze." For the first 3 days, there was darkness; you couldn't see. It was afela. The next 3 days, Rashi says, "Choshech muchpal alze," much worse, a much worse kind of darkness. Shelo kama ish mitachlav, nobody even got up. Yoshev ein yechol la'amod, v'amod lo yechol yeshev. I don't know exactly what Rashi's talking about, but that's what the pasuk says. Right? Lo kamu ish mitachtav shloshet yamim. For some reason the darkness was so great. Maybe the physicality of the darkness prevented people from moving. They were sort of stuck. You know, if they tried to walk, they were walked against a wall of darkness. They tried to sit down or stand up. There was this wall of darkness that prevented them. Shelo kamu ich mitachtav. The end of the last narrow line in Rashi, Yoshev en yechol la'amod ya'amod v'omed en yechol yeshev. So this was not the absence of light. This was something of its own. As an aside, I always tell this. This story, though, there's a commentary on the Chumash called Torah Tmima. Torah Tmima, what he did was he took statements from Chazal, and then he explains them. And in his introduction, his name was Baruch HaLevi Epstein. His name is Baruch Levy. I'd say he was modern Orthodox because he worked in the bank. And if you work, you're modern Orthodox. So he was modern Orthodox. He was the son of the Aruch HaShulchan, who was the Rav in the Vardak. A great, great scholar. Baruch HaLevi Epstein, even though he worked in the bank, had this quality. He had the same memory that his father had. He remembered everything. He remembered everything that he ever saw. And it was very interesting, apparently an interesting character. He died in New York. He came to New York before the war, and he worked in the bank, and that's where he lived his life. In his introduction, he says, I see that people are talking in shul during Kriyat HaTorah. Can you imagine that? No. But he, in his shul, people actually talk during Kriyat HaTorah. So he says, it must be because they have nothing to do. So I'm going to give them something to do. I'll write this paper so I'll be able to learn my paper, you know. That's what it was like, Torah tidbits, but it was much more complicated. It was a little more complicated than Torah tidbits. So in Yerushalayim, if you find a Yerushalmi, you know those are the guys with the round hats, like saucers, they're ready to take off. You meet a guy like that, you say to him, do you ever use the Torah Tmimah? So he'll say no. And say, how come? He says, well, because he's not. There's something wrong with him. What's wrong with him? Well, he explained by Yamesh Choshech in his commentary on this pasuk by Yamesh Choshech. He says it must be that it was like all the Egyptians got contact lenses because he couldn't figure out like black contact lenses. Everybody had these like black lenses on their eyeballs. And they couldn't, he says, he couldn't figure out how there could be light in one place and absolute darkness right next door, because the nature of the light is that it spills over, right? You can't have light here and dark here. You can, but if you have a lot of light here, as it says in the Pasuk, that's what it says in the book, Kol B'nei Yisrael Ha'yor B'Mosh V'Otam. How come there was no light for the Egyptians? So it must be that there was some physical thing that was stopping the light from getting to the Egyptians. And even though he doesn't say contact lenses, because I don't think they had them then, but he does say that there was something on their eyes. There was like something pasted on their eyes that didn't enable them to see. So here, Rashi got us into a problem. I understand what Rashi is saying. Rashi is saying, how could it be? How could it be that the darkness was so dark that it was unaffected by the light that was in Goshen? And the answer, according to Rashi, is that the darkness was like a curtain. It was a physical barrier which prevented you from seeing beyond that physical barrier. Of course, Rashi doesn't explain to us why all of this happened. Like, who is the object of this makkah? Until now, when Rashi says, that you should know this Rashi, Rashi says, Vilama, the first wide line in the Rashi, in the third of the line across from the beginning, Lama hevi aleihem choshech. I don't even know who aleihem is. Why did he bring upon them this makkah of choshech? Shayu b'Yisrael b'oto ador rishaim. What do you think about that? That there were people who were Jews, Yisraelim, that were wicked, and they didn't want to leave Egypt. And they died during these 3 days of Afela shel choshech Afela. That's what the pasuk says. Kedei shelo yiru Mitzrayim mapalatam v'yomru afem lokim kamonu. So here you see that in heaven they had a problem. God had a problem in heaven, according to this Rashi. God said, well, all these people don't want to leave Mitzrayim, they're going to be punished. They deserve to be punished. But we're not questioning the divine conclusion that all these people deserve to be punished and to die before Yitzhak Mitzrayim. But that was what they deserved. But what will happen as a result? The Egyptians will say that okay, we suffered, but now I see that the Jews are also suffering from this whole process. So who says that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us the truth, that God of the Yisraelim is causing all of this to happen? Because if that were true, why would the Jews also die? And therefore, we're not going to let them leave. Because while it's true that we are suffering, we're not suffering because of the Jewish God, but we're suffering for some other reason. So Rashi says, Lo yiru rotzim letzeitu meitu v'shloshet be'afeila kidei shelo yiru Mitzrayim b'mapalatam, that the Egyptians should not see what happened to the Jews. Yomru afein lokim mimene, afein lokim kamonu. We shouldn't say that. Rashi, you know, he says, okay, if I have to say that in order to understand what's going on, remember what Rashi's trying to do. He's trying to tell us what's happening. He's trying to tell us, what's the big deal that there's Choshech? What has the Choshech got to do with Makot b'Mitzrayim? It's Makan number 9. It's one of the real Makot. Right? It's one of the real, it's a real Makah, but no one is getting hurt here. So Rashi says, oh, Chazal said that it was the Jews who were getting hurt. And God didn't want to embarrass the Jews, and therefore Choshech Mitzrayim. So Choshech Mitzrayim is not a Makah. It's like it solves a problem. It enables God to punish the people who deserve to be punished, something like that. Then Rashi continues and says the most amazing thing. This all comes from Chazal in the Medrash Rabbah, right? Lama Va'od. You see Va'od? The second wide line, 2/3 of the line in. Va'od shechipsu Yisrael v'yirau et kleihem ukshiyatsu. Who? What do you think of that? And sometimes if you read the Rashi slowly, it's more interesting. He said, during this time of Choshech, the Egyptians couldn't see, but the Jews could see. So what did the Jews do while they could see, besides the ones who weren't dying, because they were wicked, they went into the Egyptian homes, they had these like telescopic lenses on their eyes, and they saw where they kept the gold and the silver and all the stuff. So when they left Mitzrayim, even though the Pasuk says that the Egyptians seemed to give up all their stuff willingly, but there were some who didn't, so the Jews went in and they marked little X's. Here's the gold, here's the silver, here's the credit cards, you know, they had little, or they made a little map for everybody's house. And then when they left Mitzrayim, they said, okay, give us the stuff. The Egyptian said, and he says, no, we don't really have anything. We gave everything. You ever hear a story like that? We gave it all up, and we don't have anything left. And they said, oh, no, you know, you have a few credit cards here, and there are a few, like, gold bars hidden in the fireplace or something. That's what happened. So that it turns out, according to Rashi, there's a little bit of a makah here. That according to the story that was told originally to Avram Avinu, that when the Jews leave Mitzrayim, the Egyptians will shower them with gifts. There was some question about whether the shower would be as strong as it should be. And in order to ensure that the shower would actually take place, they along came Makat Choshech. And Makat Choshech was about enabling the Jews to spy. This is sort of an interesting idea. No, they enabled the Jews to spy and to try to discover where all the good stuff was, and that way they're able to get it at the time when they left Mitzrayim on their way to Har Sinai. So there you have it. There you have it. The two problems are solved by Rashi, although they're solved in a rather fantastic way. Rashi, now we know why there was a Makkah of Choshech. It was either to punish the wicked of the Jews or to enable the Jews to locate the gold and the silver. And the second thing that we want to know is why, what kind of Choshech is it? Is it the absence of light or is it something new? And Rashi says it's not the absence of light, it's something new. It's like a curtain, it's a thing. You could touch it, you could feel it. That's Vayamesh Choshech. Now to this, the Ramban adds, if you see the Ramban, לא היה חושך הזה אפיסת אור השמש שבא משם והיה כמו לילה, אבל היה חושך אפלה, כלומר אין אב, עיד, אב מאוד שירד מן השמיים. So the Ramban just says it straight out. He says the choshech we're talking about is not the absence of light, but we're talking about a new thing that came down from heaven. Ki al kein amar nateyet yedcha l'shamayim lorid misham chashecha gdola nofelet aleihem. That's why God told Moshe Rabbeinu to raise his arm towards heaven, because a new thing is going to come into the world, something that didn't exist before, and that's the choshech. Chashecha gdola nofelet aleihem. Vayta, now listen to this, the Ramban says something interesting. Vayta mechaba kol ner. This is already in the Medrash, but he goes into it. He says, the Medrash asks the question, why didn't the Egyptians light candles? Like we used to do when there was Afsakat Chashmal, you know, that was like a Yerushalayim opportunity. You know those old candles that you have no use for? Chavsachat Chashmal takes care of it. Mechabe kol ne'er, kasher b'kol ha'chafirot ha'amukot, u'b'kol mekomot ha'choshech ha'atzum, lo yitkayem ha'ner. So if you go into a tunnel that's deep in the ground, you won't be able to light a candle. You have trouble living there also, but you have no oxygen, so the candle will keep going out. לא יתקיים הנר, וכן העוברים בהרי חושך, לא יעמוד להם שם הנר ולא האש כלל. So the Ramban seems to think that it was, that the type of choshech that was produced was the kind of choshech that you have in a deep tunnel underground where the candles don't remain lit. You could try lighting a candle, but they won't stay lit. And that's why no one saw anybody else, and no one stood or no one sat. Okay, if not for this, they would have used candles. That's what the Ramban says. So I would say that the Ramban validates that point that Rashi made. And that point that Rashi made was that it was not the absence of light, but it was some new creation that is called Choshech. Choshech Mitzrayim, Choshech Vafela. All of that is part of the new creation in Makat Choshech. The new creation Makat Choshech. The truth is that there are two other perushim here, but I think I would like to get to the end. If you turn over the pages, the Ketav Kabbalah, they all say the same thing in different words. I want to look quickly at remind ourselves of Bereshit Perek Aleph. Bereshit Perek Aleph. First two psukim are not on the sheet, but I would have liked them to be. Instead, you have a picture of Marc Chagall. What? Evo. Magimel, Pasuk Gimel, the Dalet Lo. And it would say Aleph Bet. As we say, it's a Kolachad Yodei Aleph Bet Baalpeh. Pasuk Aleph, Breshit Bara Elokim Et Hashamayim Et Haaretz. Which is whatever it is. In other words, what I mean is, the question was, it can't be a statement about creation, because the statement about creation begins Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or. So that Bereshit Bara Elokim Et Hashamayim Va'aretz could be a kind of a heading. Like, and now the topic is Bereshit Bara Elokim Et Hashamayim Va'aretz.
Chapter 1 in which?
Something like that. Or it could be what Rashi says in all the new English translations. You know, the post-King James translations. Most translations are King James. You know King James? Interesting fellow. In any event, he caused the Bible to be translated to English. That English translation says that the first pasuk is a statement. You know, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The new translations, the JPS translation, the Art Scroll translation, the Koran translation, all these translations translate according to Rashi, who said that the first pasuk is like a subjunctive clause. Is that right? Is that a correct statement? No, subjunctive. When God said about to make the heavens and the earth, comma, the first thing was the creation of light. Understand? It's not a statement that God created the world, heavens and the earth, but it's when God said about to create the heavens, the world, the heavens and the earth, the beginning was Vayom Elokim Yior, God said, let there be light. Okay? So now the second pasuk, we don't have to determine, but you can take whatever you like, as far as the translation is concerned. The second pasuk says, Reish Baruch Mishraim Adaris, Va'aretz Haita Tohu Vavohu, right? I don't know what Tohu Vavohu is, but it's like a mess. It's a mess. It's the opposite of, Tohu Vavohu is the opposite of?
Seder.
The opposite of Seder. And what word is used in Bereishit to imply Seder? I mean, the word Seder is not used in the first parakah of Bereishit, but what word is?
Vayavdel.
Yafet. To distinguish. Distinguish equals Seder. Now everybody, everything has a place. The water is here, and the dry land is here. Tohu Vavohu, it's a mess. You don't know where the dry land is. You don't know where the water is supposed to be. You know, it's all just a mess. Then it says Choshech al pnei tahom. Choshech tahom doesn't interest me, but tahom means the depths, whatever it means. I mean, it's hard to understand what the world before the world looked like, but in that pasuk it says there was Choshech. Now, what would you say that Choshech is? What would you say that Choshech is? Oh, okay, I understand. You never saw this pasuk before? Oh, I never had a chance to think about it. That's good. Choshech al pnei tahom. Ruach Elokim rachefet al pnei hamayim. That's the third part of the pasuk. Ruach Elokim. Okay, Ruach Elokim. I don't understand what it means, but I'll make believe I understand what it means, right? Ruach Elokim, the Spirit of God, whatever it is. I mean, it's very hard to know. To explain something about God in real, right? You always assume that, you know, it's just an attempt to be real, but it's not the real of the real. So Ruach Elokim rachefet al pnei hamayim. So what do you have? You have Tohu Vavohu, you have Choshech, and you have Ruach Elokim rachefet al pnei hamayim. So all of that pasuk represents disorder. One. Right? There's no order yet. Vayom Elokim, Yehi Or, that's the beginning of order. You see? Vayehi Or. Vayom Elokim, Yehi Or, Vayehi Or is the first thing that was created on the first day of creation, according to the Chumash. Pasuk Dalet, it's here. Vayar Elokim et Or Ki Tov. So that's a common. That's a common kind of statement, that the creation was perfect. It was as it should be. So the creation of light was as it should be. Vayar Elokim et Or Ki Tov, Vayavdel Elokim bein Ha'or bein Ha'Choshech. So Vayavdel Elokim bein Ha'or bein Ha'Choshech. What could that possibly mean? What could that possibly mean? It could either mean that the Or somehow was limited, and where there was no Or, there was Choshech. Or it could mean, I have to reference the Choshech of the second Pasuk. No? Vayavdel Elokim, in other words, God created light. So light overwhelmed choshech, I assume. I'm making it up, but that's my assumption. That light always wins. Right? There's a world of choshech. Choshech al b'nei tahom. Choshech. Haaretz hayta tohu v'vohu v'choshech. There was choshech. Vayavdel Elokim bein ha'or uvein ha'choshech. So this vayavdel Elokim is the same problem. Are we talking about choshech that is created, that exists, or are we talking about the absence of light? Right? So generally, the easy way is to say it's the absence of light. God said, or, and here's or, and here there's no or. Or, Vayavdel Elokim bein ha'or ubein ha'choshech. Which choshech? The choshech that pre-existed the creation of or. Rashi. Now Rashi, sensitive to this problem, and understands what Chazal meant. Rashi was very tuned into Chazal, so he says, "Af baze anu tzrichim ledivrei agada." Af baze, in this pasuk as well, I can't. Pshat is not good enough. Pshat doesn't give it to you. You need divrei agada, which is what I tried to explain before. Anu tzrichim ledivrei agada. Ra'uhu sheino kedai lishtamesh bo rishaim. Ra'uhu. What's the antecedent? God saw it. We'll say it in English. In Hebrew, him. God saw it, meaning all. The light that was created. God looked at the light that was created and said, Eino kedai lishtamesh bo rishaim, that the wicked are not worthy of this light. What wicked? What are we talking about? And so the light was taken away from the world. Right? The light was taken away from the world and placed in the place of the righteous. The righteous will come to Latid Lavo. So that the light that God created on the first day was taken away. Was taken away from the world and put away. Then Rashi says, "Ulefi pshuto." And now I'll tell you what the pshat of the pasuk is. Kach parshayu, ra'ahu ki tov. Ve'ena elo. God saw that the light was tov. Ve'ena elo ve'lachoshech sheyu mishtamshim beirbuvia. And it's not reasonable that the light which is tov should somehow be affected by the choshech that is ra. V'kava lazeh tchumo b'yom, v'zeh tchumo b'layla. That's what vayavdel elokim bein ha'or bein ha'choshech. So what I think this means is, I think this is like, I look at the Rashi, and it seems to me that Rashi and other medievalists, right, but Rashi is the first in the way we learn. The way we usually start from Rashi. Okay, we could start from Mamonote, the Sadya Gaon, we could start from the Kuzari. But the way we learn, we always learn Rashi. So Rashi begins, I mean, there's this a question of where does it come from? Where does evil come from? Where is the Ra? In the creation. If God created the world, the world should be like God. And if God is good, so the world should be good. And yet we know that there's Ra in the world. So the Ra in the world was there before creation. That's what the Chumash says. I mean, I'm giving you a possible interpretation, right? That the Ra in the world pre-existed creation. Where is it? Where is it that it pre-existed creation? Choshech al p'nei tahom. It was there. It was there. And that Choshech was part of a mess. And that creation is about distinguishing, denying the mess, making order of things. That's how creation works. Where did the choshech before creation come from? I don't know. But it's in the pasuk. It's there. Choshech al penei tehom. That choshech is the mess that produced the ra. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, as Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created light, there was no way in the created world to find a place for that light unless two things would happen. One is that the light itself, or the purest form of that light, would be moved to a place of light, which is Olam Haba. And the other possibility is, the other thing that had to happen would be that the light that was left to the world would not be mixed in with the Ra in the world, which is the Choshech. And so Rashi says, Shayu Mishnamshim Be'erbuvia Be'kavala Zetchumo Bayom Zetchumo Balayla. This was the interim solution which exists in the created world. So that in the created world is light, and there's darkness. The light is not pure light. It doesn't overwhelm on its own. It doesn't overwhelm the Ra. But the man created in that world, has got to be able to sort it out. They've got to be able to say, this is the good and this is the bad. This is the light and this is the dark. This is the kind of challenge. That man has, and we see over and over again. No matter how much we work at morals and ethical positions, not always so easy to know in a particular situation what the ethical position is, where the light is that should overcome the darkness. So this is the way to explain. This is a way to explain what's happening in the creation of the world. And I just quoted a few lines from the Tanya. You see, the last source on top of Mark Shigal is the Tanya. Inei or Hashem ein sof hamalbush bechokma shebenefesh gadol v'atzum kol kach l'taresh v'litchot ha-sikra achra v'aklipot. I mean, these are words that Kabbalists use, and they have some meaning, but for us it doesn't mean anything. It's just like light is good, And you have a lot of bad things floating around in the world that they have to get rid of. Shelo yuchlu yigiu afilu belevushav shehem machshava dibur maaseh. Levush is the way you look, the way you produce yourself in the world. Machshava dibur maaseh shel emunat Hashem echad aynu lamod benisayon v'nimsor nafsho. Afilu shelo lasot rak eze maase levad neged emunat Hashem echad. So that the Tanya says that you have to, like even when you have it in you, like you have the light inside of you, you're like the right person, you believe in God, you have emunah, but the darkness still has to be overcome sometimes. You still have to be able to learn how to deal with the darkness. So that these psukim, even though he doesn't quote the psukim in this section in the Tanya, these psukim about the creation of light and the separation of light from darkness, which according to Rashi means that there's that light, the light Ba'olam Hazeh, connects us somehow to a more perfect kind of light, which is what the Ba'al Tanya is talking about. But that more perfect light is in the place of the righteous. And in the place where there are righteous and less righteous people, where there are righteous and less righteous people, we have to overcome. We've got to be able to use the light as it was given to us, right? Separated from the darkness, we have to be able to use the light in order to find a more profound way of living b'olam olam hazeh. So if I get back to Yitziat Mitzrayim, you could say, Avram Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram, they're going to be slaves in Mitzrayim. You know how long it's going to take? 400 years. It's going to take 400 years to make them mention, to make them worthy of receiving the Torah. 400 years. They cried and they whined and they wailed and Moshe Rabbeinu came along, and it was only 210 years. Only 200 years. What happened to the other 190 years of instruction? Where did they go? So the Makkah of Choshech said that there's this lesson that you have to learn about Choshech, that connecting yourselves with the Egyptians, which is what some people did, was tantamount to living in darkness, to living in the way that Hashem did not want you to live. God wanted you to participate in the struggle, for light, Ba'olam Hazeh. And Bnei Yisrael, who were not obviously prepared for that struggle, learned about it in the Makkah of Choshech, because they saw what darkness meant. It immobilized you. It made you unable to function in a positive way. Whereas the light of the Jew, of that the Jews had in Eretz Goshen, was something that they were able to see very clearly at that time. So that some of the Jews died because not even the light could save them. But the others understood something about the world that they lived in, and the struggle of light and darkness, which is a metaphor that is, I think, reasonable up to today. You know, even today, it's a cathedral. Okay. I'm not sure about Marc Chagall, what his shot in darkness was, but I think that the light and the darkness that is represented in the Psukim in Bereishit can help me to understand what's happening in the Makkah of darkness in Mitzrayim. I'm not sure. I mean, it could be that all of the Makkot are of educational value for the Egyptians and for the Jews, right? They learned something. So we learned something about God, about control of the world, about being able to recognize God's actions in the world. All of these things are lessons that are connected to the Makkot of Mitzrayim. But the Makkah that was received by the Egyptians, was that when there was light, they couldn't see the light. And eventually they understood, somebody understood, after all the Egyptians disappeared, they don't exist in the world, because they were unable to see the light. Whatever the reason was, they never got past that first pasuk of Tohu Vavohu. That's where they were. And the Tohu Vavohu led them into kind of an unglorious, an inglorious, a vainglorious end, right? They just disappeared. They came to an end. Whereas Am Yisrael, that had a taste of the light, because the light was without any darkness. There was just light. That a taste of the light understood something about the cause that they would undertake. They weren't just going to receive the Torah. They were going to have to be the Torah. And that was a challenge that Bnei Yisrael were made aware of during the Makkah of Choshech. So you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do a lot of things and make things and destroy things and make the water stand and make the locusts fly and all of those things. But we have a responsibility to be able to see the light. That's our responsibility. And that responsibility was learned by Am Yisrael in the Makkah of Choshech. Okay.